"Have you all been enjoying your books?" Sir Moira inquired, then seized a pan and began scraping dead vegetables into the compost. Carvel gasped. Moira had sneaked in and ambushed us. She dropped the pot she had been scrubbing, spun away from the sink, and ran over to take the pan out of her old Doyne's frail hands. Archibald and I turned almost as adroitly to watch. Carvel might be swathed in a ton of black bolt, but as we'd been noticing, the lashings that held it in place around her body were most intricate and rewarded close examination. Even Barb looked. Emin Beldo was driving Ignatha Forrell back to her lodgings. Javarn's servitor, Orhan, was a hard man, or woman, to read with his or her head totally covered, but the wrinkles in his or her bolt told me his or her head was tracking Carvel. Triss took advantage of this to steal the best scrub brush. "Were you responsible for the books?" I asked.
"I had Carvel place them in your trailer," Moira said, and gave me a smile.
"So that's where those came from," Triss said, then explained. "I found a stack of books in my cell this morning." From the way other servitors were now looking at Moira, I guessed they'd had similar experiences.
"Wait a minute. That is chronologically impossible," Barb pointed out, and then, showing a flash of the old Barb wit, added, "unless you violated the rules of causality."
"Oh, I've been trying to get this vessel started for a few days," Moira said. "Just ask Sir Asquin. She'll tell you what a pest I've made of myself." "You don't really think something like this could be thrown together by a bunch of hierarchs passing notes around during embrace, do you?"
"Grand Sir Moira," Archibald began. "If it wasn't this morning's laboratorium results that brought this missile into being, what was it?"
"Well, if you weren't too busy flirting with these lovely sewers and horsing around in the kitchen, you might have heard me earlier speaking of being a metalorite."
"Or a plurality of worlds lorite," I said.
"Ah, so you were paying attention."
"I thought it was just an icebreaker."
"Who was there, Evanedric, Fra Archibald?"
"I beg your pardon?"
Archibald was fascinated by the question, but soon had his hands full as Sir Triss dumped a huge greasy platter into his arms.
"Fra Taverner, who was the Sondhemn on the planet of Quator? Triss, who was the Lady Barato of Antarct? Fra Orin, do they worship a god on Pangee, and is it the same as the god of the Matarites?"
"It must be, Grand Sir Moira,"
Orhan exclaimed, and made a gesture with his hand, I had decided he had to be male, that I'd seen before. Some kind of Diolater superstition.
"Fra Erasmus, who discovered Halicarn's diagonal on the world of Diasp?"
"Because obviously they did think such thoughts, you're saying," Archibald said.
"They must have done, to build that ship," said Barb.
"Your minds are so much fresher, more agile than some of those who sit in that Messalin," Moira said. "I thought you might have ideas."
Sir Triss turned around and asked,
"Are you saying that there would be one-to-one correspondences between our sons and theirs? Like the same mind shared across multiple worlds?"
"I'm asking you," Moira said.
I had nothing to say, being stricken with the all-too-familiar feeling of unease that came over me lately when conversations began to wander down this path. The last words Orlo had spoken to me, a few minutes before he had died, had been a warning that the Thousanders knew about this stuff and had been developing a praxis around it. In effect, that the legends of the Encanters were based in fact. And perhaps I'd fallen back into my old habit of worrying too much, but it seemed to me now that every conversation I was part of came dangerously close to this topic. Archibald, unburdened by such cares, felt ready to have a go. He heaved a platter into a drying rack, wiped his hands on his bolt, and squared off.
"Well, any such hypothesis would have to be grounded in some account of why different minds and different world tracks would think similar things. One could always look to a religious explanation," he went on, with a glance at Orhan. "But other than that, well..."
"You needn't be reticent about your belief in the HTW. Remember who you're talking to. I've seen it all."
"Yes, Grand Sir Moira," Archibald said, with a dip of the head.
How might the knowledge propagate from a common theoric world? I won't call it Hylaean, since presumably there was no person named Hylaea on Quator, to the minds of different saints in different worlds. And is it still going on at this moment, between us and them? Moira had been edging toward the back door as she tossed these mind bombs into the kitchen, and now almost collided with Emmon Beldo, fresh in from escorting his Doyne home.
"Well, it sounds as though the messel will discuss that tomorrow," I pointed out.
"Why wait? Don't be complacent," Moira shot back as she was storming out into the night.
Carval threw down a towel and scurried after her, drawing her bolt up over her head. Emmon politely got out of her way, then swiveled to watch Carval until there was nothing left to see. When he turned back around, he got a sponge in the face from Sora Triss.